At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Into left field. That's a base hit. He's got his first in the big leagues. Myers around first. Welcome to the show, Marcelo Meyer.
He's been good. And one of the things that we knew coming into the situation, they're going to have some, obstacles throughout the process. And that's what we're here for, to help them to be better.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
I'm back, baby. And I don't just mean because I'm back for Friday's show after Thursday's show. I get a night's sleep, Fitzy, and I actually feel good and ready and energized. And no, just because I'm wearing a Lucky Energy shirt, I have not had a Lucky Energy just yet. But yesterday,
but the afternoon show is young.
Oh, it is young. Many hours. But I have my natural energy back thanks to a good night's. It is amazing how well you can sleep when you don't sleep at all the night before. Like that next night is awesome. It's almost worth it. The catch-up sleep is almost worth the miserable day without sleep in a weird way.
It's like, how good does the beer taste when you clean up your act for a week or do a sober-tober or a dry January? How good does the food taste when you do a fast for 24 or 48 hours and clean out your system?
You're talking to the audience in general, right? Not to me, because I'm not really familiar with any of those examples.
Well, I do is I talk to the audience through you.
Okay, because Stiz, what was your example?
Makeup sex.
Okay, yeah,
like sometimes it's worth the argument or the fight for the sex that follows.
Again, you're going to have to explain sex. How that works to me. I have no idea.
What about breakup sex? Because I did have a coach in college that taught tackling and the rolling of the hips. He called it, you know, when you have the breakup sex and you have the hate.
I already
blank,
sort of want to throw
the
up.
The hate F. You roll the hips real hard.
One last time. Get your anger out.
Yeah. No, it was it was an interesting perspective on teaching tackling.
Can we go back to talking about good sleep?
It is going to be a good show. I'm feeling it. You're in a good mood. You showered. You got your hair all coiffed.
Feeling fresh. I got the nice American Psycho Patrick Bateman look going on right now.
Yeah, or I like to say you look a little bit like the, what's the Adam Sandler vampire movie? The
Hotel Transylvania?
Yeah, you got a little Hotel Transylvania going on right now.
I mean, I would have accepted Michael Douglas in Wall Street, but that's fine.
Who broke the chair? Because the chair in here is listing to the right.
It hasn't been sat. Okay, now just do some deductive reasoning. It has not been sat in since last evening. Yeah.
And he gets angry.
I don't know. I hate this chair. It really always bothers me. I don't know if you guys like it. I hate it a lot.
I did laugh out loud when we talked. He'll be screaming for 4 hours. He usually yelling at you for 4 hours. Doesn't get a full 4 hours that often. And the first thing I hear when I get to my car is, that really ground my gears. And I'm like, he really is. He's angry about something.
He's angry about something. He told us yesterday in our crossover at the end of the program when we were busy fawning over Sydney Sweeney's bathwater.
Not all of us.
Okay.
She can keep her bathwater. It's just her that could, come on.
Okay.
Over.
All right. Well, would you enjoy a beer made from Sydney Sweeney's backwash?
No, I don't want anything made from her. I want to make with her. That is the difference. That's how that works.
Again, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that could not be said. What you have to do is between where the thought is created and where the thought escapes, just see, put a checks and balances system.
Yeah, where's the fun in that?
I do that Monday to Thursday. Friday, the reins are off. We're just going to have a wacky,
wild show. So it's a free-for-all Friday.
Yep,
that's what this is.
Free-for-all Friday, yep.
All right, let's just, we have branded it. It is a free-for-all Friday.
On the old show, Stiz, it used to be F around and find out Friday.
Faffo.
Yeah, we're just going to have a little fun Friday. Here. So we're going to start.
All right, good. If it's a free-for-all, then I'm just going to say this. I think traffic laws are archaic.
What? What traffic laws? Like stop signs?
Yes.
Stoplights.
Let's get rid of them. Okay, I'm up for a mini purge.
Chaos. We just want pure chaos. Yes, right. Dan Ball.
Do you notice that nobody follows yield signs anymore? I think they just don't exist to people.
It's not
on the
even
road.
Dan, what a great call. It's like, first of all, nobody listens to or adheres to the rules of yellow lights, which means slow down, not hurry up and get through the light, dummy. Right.
I just got a text from Teddy said, get it together, guys. Let's go.
We'll get it together at 3 when you get here and bowling us, Ted. From now, we got free reign. Yield signs, I just treat those as whoever can get to the hole first, like, boom, who's ever, boom, go.
So
like,
you don't adhere to the zipper method?
No, I do, but, like, if I'm ahead of the car, I'm blending in. Otherwise, I'm going to slow traffic. If I'm ahead of the car, then blend in. If the other car's ahead of me, slow and let them blend in. Because if you give way to them, well, now the car behind you has to stop, and the car behind then, and all of a sudden, we have a traffic jam. If people just drove, I guess, cautiously,
logically,
aggressively,
logically.
Or what? Yes. I think people driving too slow and too timidly is what causes most accidents and most traffic.
Like hesitation, like, oh, maybe I should let this person in. Like, no, just get to your spot.
Correct.
If you just take your... I am a significant proponent of run your own damn race. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing on the track or the course. Run your race.
When you're running that zone read, Ramondre Stevenson, hit the hole. Be aggressive. The hole might not be there long. So
don't worry about
the
defenders. Don't worry about it, whatever else anyone else thinks about the play. Just hit your damn hole. And, you know, it's funny you say that because running and Ramondre will be a significant factor in my Patriots thoughts and my three-point stance in the 3 o'clock hour.
I bet it's positive, but I'll stick around to find out around 3 o'clock from Nick Fitzy Stevens and the rest of us. Three-point stance. 4:30, we will talk to our buddy Mike Giardi. See if he has the same negative tone that I thought Tom Curran had yesterday in regards to Drake May and a second practice that may have actually been worse than the first, the four-pick parade. So we'll do that. We have our expanded odds and ends later in the show. Ted will join us at 3, but as always, it's Friday. It's Hart. It's Fitzy and Hart. We're going to start off with who won the week. I feel like we should have a nice open to that. How come we don't have a nice open to this? We've been doing it for years.
Where's everyone been?
Yeah. Okay. The week. Who won the week, Fitzy?
Nailed it.
I was just going to say, you know, Stiz is just going to capture that.
It's a good open. I got to do it myself. But we heard.
I think it's a great bit. And in this particular week, Andy, the concept of this bit we've been running with for years now is going to be tested.
Yeah, this was a week where I was in my head sort of doing the Matt Patricia reverse engineering. I know who didn't win the week. Oh, that's not. No, really, nobody. No, most of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, nope, that didn't work. Not Stephon Diggs, not Mike Vrabel, thanks to Stephon Diggs, not Drake May. Not, and you start going through who didn't win the week, and that landed me on two guys, because I'll start things off, may have tied into the audio you just heard from Will Fleming talking about a certain Red Sox prospect who got called up. But I think both prospects, one who got called up and one who didn't, won the week for polar opposite reasons. Marcelo Meyer gets called up, right? Oh, he's got 3 strikeouts. It's not going to go well. He's gonna catch the stank of the big club, and they're going to ruin a prospect with everything that's going on here. Nope. He showed he can play. He showed he can hit. It's not easy. We're going to play at third. We're going to play at short. But he wanted more than anything to be on the big club. He voiced it on Woo Sox opening day at Polar Park with Jones and Keefe. Those guys get to travel everywhere, but we'll ignore that. He said, I deserve to be in the big leagues. And he's right. He deserves to be in the big leagues. He's in the big leagues for the Boston Red Sox. He's getting hits. He's getting standing ovations. He's having fun. So Marcelo Meyer, first week as a Major League Baseball player, you share the Who Won the Week nod from Andy Hart on WEEI Afternoons with your buddy, Roman Anthony. And you're like, that makes no sense. Roman Anthony hasn't been called up.
Yeah, he's not even a part of the team yet, and he's languishing in Worcester. What's going on?
And that's the beauty of it for him, is he's in Worcester, crushing the baseball. He is Keith Law's number one prospect still in all of baseball. Every time one of these lists come out, he's great. Alex Cora is talking about he's not knocking on the door. He's kicking the door down to become a Major League Baseball player yet. But little does he know. Remember when Billy Madison told his young friends when they said, "I can't wait to get to high school, Billy." And he's like, "Don't you ever say that. Stay here as long as you can." That's Roman Anthony right now, because when you get to Boston, the Boston stench will stick to you because the team stinks. They can't win baseball games. They're going to jerk you around, probably make you play like seven positions. You'll bat cleanup too, just like they made Campbell and Meyer and Narvaez put pressure on you. So right now, Roman Anthony, it's just fun times. You've proven you can dominate minor league baseball. You've proven you can dominate AAA. Enjoy it. Because at some point, the dark cloud that is Fenway Park is going to be cast upon you just like it is everyone else. So who won the week? For very different reasons, Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony, the future, hopefully, of brightness for the Red Sox.
Well, I agree with you, and I almost went the same direction, and not that winners in duplicate would have been a problem, because it was such a small pool, such a thin herd to pull from. I agree, Marcelo Meyer. It's not like, oh, no, he's up here. Now he's suffering with the rest of us. He didn't win the week. He's a loser now. Like, no, no, no. He showed that he belongs, Andy. So he's a winner in my book. And Roman Anthony, you don't have to be part of the tire fire at Fenway yet. So that's kind of a dub for you. And the expectations and anticipation for your arrival grow by the day. I love it. It's rock solid. Probably the best and only pick of anyone who could have won the week. So that's why, instead of going with those guys and just repeating after you, I went with the winner of the week, me.
What?
Why did I win the week? Because this week is almost over, and I don't have to watch or talk about any of these friggin' teams past 6 p.m. tonight for at least 48 hours. This week sucked. These teams can't get out of their own way. Nothing good about the Boston Celtics. Nothing good about the Boston Bruins. They haven't even freaking hired a coach yet. Your highlight for a Bruins fan is watching Jeremy Swayman do his job and actually perform up to par at the World Hockey Championships. Yay. You being freaking cuckolded by watching Brad Marchand go to the Stanley Cup Finals now in a Florida Panthers uniform, which is just positively disgusting. The Red Sox spew chunks on a daily basis, and now Drake May can't throw the ball to hit the side of the barn from a freaking tractor. You got receivers dropping balls. The defense is dominating the offensive line. Confidence is fleeting, one OTA at a time. This week stinks. I can't wait for it to be over and start next week on a fresh, bright, new, optimistic page. But for now, me and every other sports fan that can't wait for this particular week in Boston sports to be over, we win because we're almost there.
Yeah, it hasn't been...
it hasn't.
It hasn't been great. For a spring that seemed so hopeful at certain points, right. Celtics were cruising towards another banner. Ah. They were going to defend their title. The Patriots were winning April, March, free agents.
They got an A++++ the first time ever on an NFL draft. Plus, they crushed it in free agency, Andy.
Red Sox were going to the World Series. The roster's loaded. They got leadership. They got bats. They got too many pitchers. They got seven pitchers. What are they going to do with all these pitchers?
We should probably trade some. And also, Andy, we can't call up Meyer and Anthony. We have too many sticks.
Where are they going to play? There's a log jam of players.
Look at this infield. The outfield has three Gold Glovers and four Hall of Famers. That doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to, because the Red Sox are back, baby. Light up another dog rocket, John Henry, you magnificent billionaire.
Now the Red Sox are back, and I mean the Red Sox, which usually wait till late in the year to fade and flounder and ruin our summers, as was so famously said on this radio station decades ago. But I am going to remain optimistic, because the beauty of Major League Baseball, the beauty, Andy, is that there's a game virtually every night. There wasn't one last night, but there's a game tonight in Atlanta, and you're going to get to see Marcelo Meyer. Like, even if that's all you care about right now is watching Marcelo Meyer bat, and all you care about is the young Boston Red Sox.
We're not there, are we?
Yes.
No, Andy, please
entertainment,
don't tell me we're there.
Entertainment.
No, we can't be there. We cannot already be on to... If anybody says, in earnest, we're on to 2026 already, I cry, I quit. Game over.
What other than right now, based on what we've seen of late, what other than Marcelo Meyer are you really excited for or optimistic about going into a game like, I don't know, a Friday night in Atlanta? It's hard to answer. There's not a lot that you can point to. So I think Marcelo Meyer is the entertainment value of the Red Sox. We thought, thanks to Will Fleming, also didn't win the week, because during the broadcast the other day, Will was teasing, big day, big news day, exciting things are going to happen. What happened yesterday? Literally, what happened yesterday,
Alex
Will?
Alex Cora did a good job answering our questions, and some of those got used on local news programs?
No, the Aggregation Nation people took those and, yeah, ran with them. Yeah, no, that I guess that was good, but
yep.
There was no big news, nothing good or bad. Because some people, I was speculating just simple good. Roman Anthony's going to get called up. Okay, youth movement's
That's
on.
That's more than
Boom.
Simple good. That is potentially seismic good. And it's also appointment television, like excitement. Like, Andy, right now, tell me, you get to pick one word to describe the feeling with which you approach sitting down and watching a Red Sox game. And it can't be relaxing or joyful because your derriere is on a sofa and you've got a Frosty Bev in hand.
Right now would be work.
Yeah, mine is laborious. Yeah, it feels like a job. It feels like a chore watching or listening to a Sox game.
And hopefully that changes, but you know, there were also some that were of the negative vein, that yesterday was going to bring a firing, a movement, whether it was Alex Cora, Pete Fatsy, Andrew Bailey, like maybe that was the day on an off day where they made some changes, shook up the coaching staff, shook up the environment they work in, and, well, we got really nothing. We just got a nice interview, and if you missed it, download the Odyssey app right now, and then use it later, because I want you to listen live, but use it later to listen to that Alex Cora interview with us yesterday, because he was good. I will say, the one problem with him, remember we used to say it about Cam Newton?
He's too good.
No. Cam Newton was a really good interview. You know what else he was? Really bad quarterback for the New England Patriots. Really bad.
If your core definition of bad quarterback is has trouble throwing a forward pass, then yes.
Yeah, that'd be my definition. And Cam Newton was great Monday through Saturday. Sundays, not so much. He kind of stunk.
Cam Newton!
Fitzy wrong again. That's the Fitzy that's going to tell you in the 3 o'clock hour, the 3-point stance, something great about something that deals with the New England Patriots.
Listen. Andy, I will continue to be a Cam stan. I am
Cam Camalama.
So you don't require your favorite quarterbacks to be able to play the quarterback position? That's not a prerequisite?
He was good before he got COVID, and then his arm fell apart and the team around him as well.
Yes,
Andy,
we were Cam. A couple of meh.
Oh, that's right. The car got off the highway, and it wasn't fair. They never let him
tried.
Get back on.
You know what he did? Gave us something to talk about when we were all just caught in our fields, trapped in our homes. # alone but together. I appreciate the fact that he tried. And did he do a great job? No, of course not. Was he even serviceable anywhere else after that? No, I get it. He was washed. He was done. He was cooked. He was toast. But I appreciate that. I don't think he gets enough love regionally for at least trying and giving us something to watch.
He sucked.
When we're
He
sucked. The bulk
the
of the job.
The Patriots that year was awful.
But he sucked. Do you remember? He sucked.
There were highlights.
Not entertaining.
Highlights.
No, there weren't really very many
highlights.
What about
week two? It's week two against Seattle, 360 yards passing.
All right, what else you got?
Week one, three
the fumble against
touchdowns.
The Bills. That was awesome. That was awesome.
That
his inability
against
to
the Bills
throw
was
five
awful.
Yards. He couldn't throw. He was a shell of it. He was a short yardage running back. He was a goal line running back is what he was
great
for that season.
When they won
he
45,
was not entertaining.
10 against the Chargers.
And my comparison here, I'm
awful
starting to have
Rams.
Concerns. That Alex Cora, my favorite part of dealing with Alex Cora, my favorite part of the job he does is Wednesdays around 2:15 when I get to talk to him for 15 minutes. I love talking to Alex Cora. The other 6.5 days a week when I watch his production on the baseball field as a manager has not been great. It's not great, as he would say, and it's not entertaining.
These Red Sox are quickly, if you're talking to production, they're quickly turning into Spider-Man the Musical or Springtime for Hitler. Like, it is getting... Right. It's not a good watch.
It's
legitimately not a good watch. And I think Will Fleming is going to start developing like an addiction problem. The poor man's going to need pills in the booth. My God.
I actually thought about terribly. It coming in. So that tonight they have the three-man broadcast. It's the two
which
Wills.
Which is, by the
Luke.
Way, just gold for a great game.
Well, it's gold for a great broadcast. I don't know if the game is as good as the broadcast.
If you're going to listen, and you should, and don't miss Arcan.
Don't miss me on the pregame.
That's a great booth.
Yeah,
Flemdog, Brooksy, and Lou. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a great broadcast. I guarantee you the broadcast will be entertaining. I guarantee what you hear, the words you hear will
and
be entertaining.
And how they're delivered.
I have no idea if they'll be delivering a story, an image, a picture painting of good baseball or a winning baseball team. And that's what I'm a little worried about with Cora now. I think you get a free Willie. I was thinking about that. Will Fleming, he needs to be freed. He needs like a week off to get away from the rest. Because I think it's bad for his health. We're at the conclusion of Mental Health Month, and I'm being dead serious here. This season has already worn on him. You listen. Go back and listen. You know how they compare presidents?
And
Torrey
Hunter's hurt.
First year, a president looks young and nimble and ready for the job and excited. By year four, or certainly year eight.
The presidential aging comparison is perfectly apt.
Will Fleming has aged mentally 12 years in 2 months.
Probably like Shibuzi said, one, here comes the two, to the three, to the four.
See, that was him early in the year. I guarantee that was early in the season.
He's going to start the season looking like Glenn Powell. He's going to finish it looking like Joe Biden.
And he is so frustrated with this baseball team that that's a concern for me. I got to look out for my guy.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
See, he's crying in the booth already, and it's only May.
Well, the good thing about there being three people in the booth tonight is at least like when one of them needs a shoulder to cry on, there'll be a third person to actually narrate the game.
So there you have it. Fitzy says he won the week because he's an egomaniac and it's all about him because the week is over and he's sick of watching Boston sports. I say it was your two top prospects. I can't give it to Christian Campbell anymore because that poor guy, they've beaten him to a pulp.
That throw, that like...
Yeah, it's not on him.
That's an all-timer.
Yeah, but that's not on him. That's on them. That's a they problem, not a him problem. They're supposed to...
Who threw the ball? What do you mean, Coach Hart, that's not on him? He threw the ball.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance. Uh-huh. When you plan,
nailed it.
When you plan to, there's a lot of PL words in this. When you plan to play first base and then you play second base every night and get in hectic situations, it's going to go awry. Don't ask a guy to prepare.
How difficult is the throw from first compared to the throw from second to home? Like they're very similar throws, and also set your feet, throw across, point to your target.
That was all about hips. He didn't turn his hips. That was all that was about. It was rushed. His mind. I am making excuses for Christian Campbell. Yes, I am. He shouldn't play three different positions of Major League Baseball. He shouldn't be batting cleanup. You should let him bat low in the order, as he should have been all year, and just be free swinging and be the guy that seemed so young. He's like Will Fleming. He's been broken by the Red Sox.
Right.
He's been on the team a damn 2 months. The first month, he was the freaking offensive rookie of the month. The second month, he's a broken ball player. He doesn't know what position he plays. He doesn't know how to hit anymore. The Red Sox, they're wearing on everyone. But I still say this was a great week for Marcelo Meyer because he got the call-up he wanted. He got the standing O he wanted. And he proved he can play Major League Baseball. And it was a great week for Roman Anthony because he's not part of this mess yet. And he will be soon.
And whenever he arrives, no matter what he does, he will be heralded. And poor Christian Campbell arrived looking young and fresh-faced like Miles Morales from Into the Spider-Verse, and now he looks like Giancarlo Esposito, aging a month by the game.
617-779-7937. If you want to tell us who you feel most sad for regarding the start to the Red Sox season, is it Alex Cora? Is it Will Fleming? Is it Christian Campbell?
Is it us?
Is it Fitzy? Anyone?
Definitely us.
Misery loves company, so let's commiserate together. Who won the week in Boston sports? If you want to chime in on that, was it my guys, Anthony and Meyer? Was it Fitzy? Was there somebody we missed? Because it didn't seem like there were a lot of candidates, but if you got an idea for somebody who won the week in Boston sports, 617-779-7937. Up next, we will look back at our interview from yesterday with Alex Cora, because everybody was taking note of it because he said some notable things, and we haven't yet gotten to a baseball game where he could display some of those issues. So Alex Cora's interview, a couple sound bites from that. But up first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay, features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox open up a three-game road series with the Atlanta Braves tonight. First pitch is at 7:15. It's Lucas Giolito against Grant Holmes. From earlier today, the Red Sox are calling up reliever Nick Birdie from AAA Worcester, and the corresponding move, Liam Hendricks, has been added to the injured list. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand at 6:15 p.m. tonight. And Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Maloney have the call of the game. Last night in the NBA, the Knicks extended their season with a 111-94 win over the Pacers in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 6 of that series is Saturday night in Indiana. The winner of the series faces the Thunder in the NBA Finals. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Oilers doubled up the Stars 6-3 to win their series in 5 games and advance to the Stanley Cup Final. Game 1 of that series, featuring a rematch of the Oilers and Panthers, will be held in Edmonton on Wednesday night. The New England Revolution visit CF Montreal tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7:30. And the Patriots return to the field for OTAs today, their third and final day of team activities this week. In league news, the 49ers and Eagles are working to finalize a trade that will send edge rusher Bryce Huff to San Francisco for a mid-round pick, and the Dolphins have engaged in trade discussions with the Steelers involving former Patriots tight end Jonnu Smith. Headed to Fenway for the game, park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for nights and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Prue. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
No, not really. From my end, I actually don't ask coaches about that. You know, I just ask them to do their best on a daily basis. But I can answer that question. Personally, no. I feel like every day we go out there, we're doing our best. It hasn't happened for us. You look at the season and having conversations with some people this morning, I was like, man, it's a weird one, right? Because it feels like you are in every game, but it's not going your way. So, this is just a tough stretch for us, for me, as a manager. And we just got to be ready for tomorrow. We got a big series coming up here in Atlanta, and hopefully we can win 2 out of 3 or sweep in and get this bad taste out of our mouth.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora here on WEEI Afternoons yesterday afternoon when I pussyfooted my way through asking him if he was on the hot seat. And he said no. He said he doesn't feel like he's on the hot seat, not worried about his job security. That was one of the answers that seemed to get the most attention on social media and some of the aggregation and blogging sites, Fitzy. Is that part of the problem, that he doesn't feel the urgency? We touched on this yesterday. Maybe that trickles down. Alex Cora doesn't think he is in jeopardy of losing his job, and maybe that trickles down to Trevor Story, who doesn't think he's in jeopardy of losing his job. Is there not enough fear or urgency in these high-level, very well-compensated men that are underperforming?
The whole entire idea of, hey, it's a long season, we can turn this around in no time. I get that. Like, you can look back to last year's Mets, who were even worse than the Red Sox at this point in the season, who then caught fire and made it all the way to the NLCS, providing a very memorable run for Metropolitans fans. So there are other examples of teams that have done something similar before. He's probably seen it and felt it himself. But some of those teams, like I again, you can see that there's talent on this team. I think some of those other teams had more talent. I don't appreciate the lack of urgency. No, I'm not. I can see why he does it, but I'm not a fan of it in any way, shape, or form. Like, there needs to be more urgency on this team right now. Like, losing, when the hell did losing become acceptable?
No, I don't think he accepts it. But the lack of fear or whatever you want to call it for, and I keep kind of tying it all together. Trevor Story, 14 for 130, and we're not going to bench him. We're not going to take him out of the lineup. And Alex Cora can have a almost last place baseball team, certainly trending in that direction, and he doesn't feel like his job is in jeopardy. Like, that's an air of entitlement, to use Mike Vrabel's word, that you're entitled to your job because you make a lot of money and you used to be good at your job. Well, are you good at your job right now? Are you earning your paycheck right now? I think that's a fair question to ask both the manager and the shortstop. And based on the average, for one, and the win-loss record and standings, the other, neither is earning their paycheck. Dan Ball.
I saw this example floating around Twitter, and it's something Alex Cora should be familiar with. 2018, right around this time, end of May, the Red Sox DFA'd Hanley Ramirez. He was hitting in the 240s, which compared to Trevor Story, we would all jump at.
Yep.
But it was right. A tough decision for, and I'm not saying that this team has 2018 roster abilities, but it's a team that was trying to compete that made a tough decision on a veteran player for the sake of clearing out the lineup for better players to win. And somewhere between 2018 and now, this isn't a shock to anyone, the philosophy seems to have changed.
And, you know, it's hard in one sense because we don't know who to credit slash blame for a lot with the Red Sox. You know, if we're going to say Cora gets told who to pull, when to pull him, how many pitches to pull him, like, these are organizational decisions. And we will get to some of the Craig Breslow comments from the Greg Hill Show yesterday, a little bit later in the program, a little later this hour, actually. But, you know, there's that weird, we don't know what the hierarchy of decision-making is. So, therefore, who's afraid to not play Trevor Story? Is it just Alex Cora? Is it the manager being loyal to veteran players? Or is there a organizational, we pay that guy a lot of money, you keep his ass on the field, we're not in the business of paying people not to be here?
Can't be Breslow. I mean, Breslow didn't sign him. That was a Heim Bloom deal. It can't be Alex Cora unless Alex Cora is just in love with the guy or think that he provides, you know, early era Boston Celtics, Al Horford, you know, intangibles, like, oh, you don't see all the things Trevor Story does. Well, the things that I see are average level defense at best and super subpar offense from the shortstop position.
Dan Ball, why are you doing Daniel Bryan's celebration with the crowd?
Look at you knowing that first and foremost. Impressed by that, because I said this to you off air. I still believe that all of this ties directly to the top in terms of organizational culture, the willingness to make winning decisions. That goes to the ownership in John Henry and the deeper pockets.
So that's another one that I struggle with, because there are times where we think, oh, this guy doesn't even know whether the team won or lost the most recent game. He day to day, he has no idea what's going on. All he sees is spreadsheets and returns on investment and the concession sales at Fenway Park and ticket sales. And then in the next breath, we're like, yeah, John Henry said they're not allowed to bench Trevor Story. Well, which is it? Is he invested in the baseball team on a daily basis and the actual product on the field? Or is it just a line item in his Excel spreadsheet?
I think you can describe all of that by he's trying to make the most of his dollar, where he has seen the decline in attendance, the decline in interest the last few years. So he made a couple of moves to try to boost it just enough to still be competitive this year. And you're not going to make a mockery out of my money by benching Trevor Story and not trying to make the most out of this contract. And Fitzy, I see all of it at least loosely tying together there.
Okay, and so that makes me wonder, Dan, Andy, audience at large, do we believe that there is somebody, one of these same, shall we say, analytics wizards, or in short parlance, as Ted would call them, nerds, one of these baseball nerds that has gotten in the ear of Cora, gotten in the ear of Breslow, gotten in the ear of the organization, even John Henry, and said, guys, we're not winning this year. 2026, once Anthony and Meyer are up, get their feet wet, get everything together, maybe we get Casas back, like, we're going to be firing on all cylinders. We can legitimately challenge the Yankees, but this is a dreadful, God, I hate these words, bridge year. Or no, this is a development year. It's not a bridge year. This is a development year. So just see what you can get out of Trevor Story, because he's not going to be here next year.
So the 978. says Hart, no baseball manager would ever suggest they are on the hot seat. Do you feel an urgency to beat the dopes, Felger and Maz? I do. I actually do. Every day I show up trying to do the best show possible because I think if we don't do the best show possible and make strides in a positive direction, they will replace us. I think you should have that sense of urgency. You should want to win and do your job at the highest level. Mm-hmm. So, yes, your example, 978, is yes, every day we come here trying to put the best product out there and move in that direction.
And just because you know the show you mentioned.
And just because you know, we might know we're not going to get an answer, but you still got to ask the question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he can answer it a million different ways. You know, Vrabel.
What's wrong with asking a question about job performance and job security?
Well, in professional sports, in this world that we work in of entertainment and scoreboards and numbers, yes, there are ratings. Yes, we're aware of the ratings and numbers like that, just like he's aware of that big green monster that lists the standings out there every night.
9.5 behind the Yankees.
It's literally directly across from where he stands. Like, he cannot possibly look out of the dugout without acknowledging the standings, right? Like, that's his world. So would I feel some urgency? Yes. I would also, if I were him, probably feel a little bit of stability because I just signed a 3-year, $21 million contract and feel like maybe that helps me keep my job.
I feel empowered to say whatever the hell I want, by and large, so long as it doesn't fall within the you know, with between the rails of defamation or something like that. Because otherwise, like, what do I, yeah, I'm getting paid $21 million one way or another. Now, would I like to see that I was not just sort of some year, 1 year wonder who had a wagon of a roster in 2018 and won, and also I'm coming off of being mired in a scandal. So I think winning another year for Alex Cora would be huge for his reputation and legacy as a manager in MLB.
100%. Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of texts and calls and tweets that hate Alex Cora. A lot of them hate Alex Cora.
Yeah.
They don't think he's a good manager. They like to point to when he's not cheating, he isn't winning, and he
hasn't done
this.
Check the comments on any post from our show or anything Alex Cora related. It's just like, fire Cora, overrated,
right?
Bring back the trash cans. This guy stinks.
So yesterday on the show poll, which I didn't have a chance to get to yesterday during the show because we had a very hectic all-around show, a lot of energy, plus I was half asleep, at Jumbo Hart put out the poll yesterday at WEEI Afternoons. Which area of the team is most responsible for the Red Sox disappointing underachievement to this point in the season?
Can I guess?
Yeah, let me give you the options first.
Okay.
Coaching, hitting, pitching, front office were the four options that I presented to the voters. Who do you think won?
Pitching with 37%.
Well, this is the worst guess you've ever had. The worst guess you've ever had by far. We had a three-way neck-and-neck battle for first base, for first place, kind of like the Red Sox. You had a neck-and-neck battle for first base. And then one of the responses was very much in last place. That was pitching. Pitching got 12% of the vote.
Really?
Yep. No one blames the pitching, apparently. But everybody has a split.
24th in starter ERA. What the hell?
Split blame pie. Hitting got 31% of the vote. So everybody blaming the hitting, well, not everybody, 31% of the respondents. Then 29% of respondents said the front office is to blame. And then 28% of the respondents said coaching is to blame. Now, I did lump it together as coaching. So if you hate Andrew Bailey or you hate Pete Fatsy or you hate Alex Cora, obviously you voted for coaching. It's all under that one umbrella of leadership. But I did think it was interesting that hitting – people and you can look at it, the record 5-16 in one run games. You know, they have weird numbers because some of their numbers are actually good. They were leading the league in hits, but they were
leading the league in runs scored at one point. But then they also still had a 500 record.
It's because, as Breslow pointed out the other morning, like when you score 19 runs and 16 runs in two games or whatever it was, Cardinals and Orioles, like, that sways your numbers. That's a lot of runs in just a couple games. They don't get timely hitting. They don't get key hitting. They don't score runs when they actually need to score runs in situations. So I agree that hitting has been a major problem for this baseball team, but I would also agree with the people that say coaching has been a problem for this baseball team. I'd also agree that front office deserves some of the blame pie here in this battle because, you know, you didn't have a first baseman, and however that comes about to not playing Devers where you might actually need him to play, whether that's coaching or front office or both. Mm-hmm. I think you could have voted in this and gotten the results to be 25%, 25%, 25%, 25% in my mind. Because I think you're right. I think the pitching also shoulders some of the blame. At various points, this bullpen has been terrible.
What if you just told everybody, like, you know, hey guys, we cut up the pizza differently. It's not just in 8 slices, so everyone gets 2. It's like when people, you know, Andy, run the blade across the pizza, then up and down the pizza. So there's a lot of small squares. Everyone can help themselves to how much they see they're entitled to. And I would say everybody gets probably the equivalent of 2 slices worth. Like, the front office did an okay job, did a better job than recent seasons. Manager's not doing a great job. Hitting is not coming through in the clutch when they need to. How many games have they finished like 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position? It's gross. And they can't hold a 1-run lead to save their lives. It's like 1-run leads are greased seals in the hands of the Red Sox.
Speaking of the front office, Craig Breslow was on the Greg Hill Show yesterday, had some interesting comments about decisions being made, including one that we blamed Alex Cora for in terms of pulling Garrett Crochet early. Well, Craig Breslow tells us what really happened. You'll hear that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, so I would say that's an organizational decision. And, you know, we collect a lot of information about our players, especially our pitchers in between starts. Some of that is objective, some of it is subjective. And, you know, we're trying, like all decisions, we're trying to balance the short-term and long-term interests of the team.
Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show on Thursday morning, talking about the organizational decision to pull Garrett Crochet, 80-plus pitches, 5 1/3 innings. Yeah, we didn't like it. Forced our buddy, our pal, our friend, and the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, to fib to us live on the radio.
Alex.
But that wasn't all that Craig Breslow had to say. Chris Curtis pushed back a little bit, and I thought this was an interesting exchange.
But so that's not Cora's decision then. So that's the organization has analytics they present to him and say, hey, this is why we should be at this point tonight.
It's a conversation, yeah. You know, and as it relates to health, you know, I think it makes sense to leverage all of the resources and expertise in the organization. And, you know, Alice and I have conversations around game strategy every single day. And, you know, when we see things differently, we sit down to have productive conversations about it and, you know, and ultimately make a decision.
Two best friends that anyone can have. It was a conversation. It's a conversation. It's like when my wife's mad and we have conversations and then we do whatever the hell she wants.
And then we do ultimately what she decides.
Yeah,
my wife and I disagree on how we should parent the kids. And then ultimately we do what she thinks is best.
Yep. Yes, dear. Happy wife, happy life. We move along. So we're getting little snippets of this along the way. And
something stinks here, Andy. Like something's coming from somewhere else. It's not just like there's a call coming from in the house. You know what I mean?
Well, but what I don't like is Craig Breslow brings up their health. He says health. No, it isn't health. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that it isn't health. I don't believe it's a health issue right now, right? It is managing the asset that is Garrett Crochet. Mm. Health would be, man, my arm is sore after that last start. I think we'd all say, oh, okay, let's back off, pull
him. Please don't say it's the elbow.
Do what you need to do, whatever. But just managing him because he's never pitched a lot of innings. You know, I think at one point, I don't know whether Cora or Breslow brought up that Crochet was leading the American League in both innings and pitches, I think. And it's like, okay, so that, but that's not health. That is you load managing like they do in the NBA. That is you looking ahead and managing it. Health would be, yeah, he went to the trainer after the game and was concerned about the way. Walker Buehler, right? He had the short stint.
The shoulder tightness, yeah.
That was health. This isn't health. This is you being proactive rather than reactive. And I get that that's part of baseball, and pitchers' arms are ticking time bombs, and it seems like sooner or later everybody's hurt and all this, whatever. But this isn't a health issue, and this is, as he said, this is subjective, right? This is like, you don't think he should throw X number of pitches in a row or over a span or all the... It's not objective. There's no line in the sand that when he hits X number of pitches, his arm is going to blow up and fall off. So I just wish, you know, we used to always play the truth serum game with Bill Belichick. Sometimes I wish we could just play the truth serum game with our buddy, our pal, our friend, and our Wednesday interview, Alex Cora. Just Alex, if it were you, what would Garrett Crochet have done in that game? Not what the organization thinks or Brez thinks or any of these guys. What would you have done? And I think he would pitch him, personally.
So do I. Like, I think he would pitch him. I think he would say, he gets paid to pitch. I need him to pitch. My bullpen is tired. He's going to go out there and be a hoss for me tonight.
Right. And that's where I don't like this whole conversation that is an organizational decision. And I'm using the weird tone to accentuate the words that I am stealing from Craig Breslow.
Oh, God.
So I don't like where this is going, because I think Alex Cora, the manager, would do it the old-fashioned way. Oh, my bullpen is gassed. I need to pitch Crochet a lot tonight. Oh, in a couple weeks, there's an obvious opportunity where the bullpen is feeling great. They haven't pitched in a few days. We had an off day, and I can go by my gut, not some arbitrary date that we circled because the analytics people added up some pitches and said, we have to circle this date and this start. Like, that's not how you do it. I like the old-fashioned way. Let the manager actually manage his ball club.
When you said old-fashioned way, I thought you meant you were gonna. I thought you were gonna say, like, yeah, you know, back in the 20s, where a guy would go out and throw nine and then take a break, nine, and then go to his job at the factory.
Let the manager have a feel for his clubhouse and his team and his arms, and be
like, what the hell is he supposed to do? Otherwise, he's nothing more than a conduit in a jersey. I just had a terrifying thought about how this is going for Alex Cora right now. What was one of the big arguments? What was one of the big talkers late last summer here in the Boston sports scene? It was, Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett in the preseason, but it's an open competition. No, it's a predetermined process, actually. We were just telling you guys it was an open competition. And then what happened? Gerard Mayo was forced organizationally. We're not sure if it was by the Crafts. We're not sure if it was by Elliot Wolf or Alonzo Highsmith or somebody else to start Jacoby Brissett over Drake May. We all agreed that was not a very fun five games, not the greatest decision. And then ultimately, you know, he proved not to be a very good head coach, and out the door he went. Right now, if Alex Cora is being told how to handle all of his pitchers and not being allowed to have a feel for it or manage the ball club, he may see a similar fate, which would be really unfortunate.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line here is his name is attached to the ball club right now more than Breslow. Breslow's early in his tenure, and he has probably a longer rope with which to hang himself, I say. I don't know. Is that one of those things that's been canceled? You're allowed to say
No, you can still sort of say
He's got a longer leash. Let's use the leash.
Longer leash is nice.
It's longer leash.
Is it one of those ones with a thumb trigger so it goes really long?
You can lock it off real quick and rip the dog back if he's going to run in front
of
the car.
Is that what happened when Cora was going to let Crochet go past 85 pitches?
That's
hit the leash?
No, he hit. Now, Dan, what happened is he ran into the invisible electric fence.
Craig Breslow was listening, and he pushed the button and jerked Alec Cora. You will not be going for a complete game tonight. In fact, you barely get out of the fifth inning.
Yeah, wouldn't that be hilarious?
But it's his name that's on the line right now. It's his career that's on the line right now. If this season blows up, this is going to be seen as a failure for Alex Cora. I really believe that.
Correct.
I think that's where it's going to lie. Whether it costs him his job or not, I don't know. Job security, the way he talked about it yesterday, maybe not. But I think his name is going to be tied to this team because the perception was there's more talent. And he put himself out there starting the end of last year. We're not going to struggle again. We're a good baseball team. And then you look at it, and you're not a good baseball team. So That was a good hour of Red Sox ripping before they play a game tonight in Atlanta. We'll see if they can turn the fortunes around here on WEEI with the great broadcast. We're promising a great broadcast, if not
tremendous.
A great game. Two Wills and a Lou couldn't be better for a baseball game. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson joins the fun. 3-point stance, where I will tell you why a great opportunity fell in the lap for one Brad Stevens. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.